In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to him to be married, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Until this will be assigned to you, you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those of whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby who was laying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorified and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived.
Well, good morning, everyone. I do hope you're having a wonderful Christmas so far. There's so much bad news around, isn't there? War in Gaza, war in Ukraine, so much other sadness. It's very encouraging to read in verse 10 of our reading, "The angel said to the shepherds, 'Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" Now, what is the good news the angels bring to the shepherds? Who knows? What's so good about it? Anybody going to tell me? Pardon? What's the question? What's the good news? What good news have the angels brought them? A Savior has been born, verse 11. "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Now then, what does a Savior do? Clues in the name, a Savior. What does a Savior do? Who knows? He saves you, that's right. He saves you, or he rescues you. What does Jesus rescue us from? Who knows? From sin. That's right, from sin, from death, from hell, for heaven. Now I want to show you three things about this Savior. Three things about this good news that a Savior has been born. An ordinary place, ordinary people, so God gets all the glory. Firstly then, an ordinary place. If you were God and you were planning to come to earth to be born as a human being, if you were God, where might you expect to be born? Think about that for a minute. Remembering that Jesus would be the most important king ever, where might you expect him to be born? Here's the world. If you could choose anywhere in the world to be born, Where might you choose? I suppose you might choose New York or London or Paris or Jerusalem. But where is Jesus born? Where does God choose for Jesus to be born? Who knows? Where was it? Who's going to tell me? Yes, Reinhardt. Oh. Bethlehem. That's right. Bethlehem. And what sort of place might you expect a great king to be born? What do you think? In a palace. That's right. That would be the obvious place for a king to be born. But Jesus doesn't come to be born in a palace. In fact, he doesn't come to be born in Jerusalem or any other capital city. Jesus comes to be born in a little town called Bethlehem. And his parents come from an ordinary town in Galilee. Now, look at how God organizes things so that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. There was an Old Testament prophecy that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. In Micah 5:2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." God's King, the Savior, the Rescuer, Jesus, was always planned to be born in the little town of Bethlehem. So look at how God organizes this. Chapter 2, verse 1. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world." In other words, the Roman emperor, the king who ruled so much of the world, wanted to take a register. He wanted to know exactly who lived in his empire. Now, your teacher takes a register every morning so that the school knows exactly who's in school that day. Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, the king, the Roman king, wanted to know exactly who lived in his empire. He wanted to know so that he could tax everyone who lived in the empire. Our government is the same. Everyone has to be registered in our country. Everyone is registered when they're born, and everyone is registered when they die, so that the government knows exactly who lives in the UK. This was the first census, verse 2, that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. And so God organizes things to get Joseph and Mary to be in Bethlehem at exactly the time for Jesus to be born, just as prophesied in the Old Testament. Verse 4, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David." So Joseph comes from the family of King David. He comes originally from David's town, from Bethlehem. And so verse 5, he goes there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. So God organized things so that Mary and Joseph would be in Bethlehem at exactly the right time for Jesus to be born. fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy. And so Jesus wasn't born in a great city. He wasn't born in a palace. In fact, there was no room for Jesus, even in an ordinary house in Bethlehem. Verse 7, there was no guest room available for them. Mary gives birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. Now, what was a manger normally used for? Who knows? What was a manger used for normally? Yes. Yeah, for animals' food. It was an animal's feeding trough. That's how ordinary and poor Jesus was at his birth. Here is God himself come to be born as one of us. And he isn't born in a city. He isn't born in a palace. He doesn't even have a cot. He's born, presumably, where the animals were kept, and he's laid in a manger, an ordinary place. Secondly, ordinary people. Look at the next amazing part of our story, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. So what was a shepherd's job? What did a shepherd do? Who knows? What was a shepherd's job? What did they look after? Sheep, that's right. And were shepherds rich? No. They were poor. Were they important in the eyes of the world? No. They were just ordinary people. Just like ordinary workers in our country who wear a jacket, something like this, very often. They were just ordinary people. Where's my armhole? Just ordinary people, and yet God chooses shepherds to be the first visitors to baby Jesus. And an amazing thing happened to them. Verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. How do you think they felt? How do you think they felt when the angel appears to them and the glory of the Lord shines around them? Terrified. They were absolutely terrified. Well, you would be, wouldn't you? They're just out in the fields at night, and suddenly here is a mighty angel and a bright light. But the angel said to them, verse 10, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." There might have been more than one baby wrapped in cloths in Bethlehem, but there'd only be one baby lying in a manger, an ordinary place, ordinary people. And all the glory goes to God. Now, who gets glory in our society, would you say? Who do you think? What sort of people? Footballers. When they score a goal, they turn to their supporters and everyone praises them. Who else gets glory? Pop stars. That's it. Yay! You're the best. Pop stars. I'm a fan of an elderly pop star called Cliff Richard. I liked Cliff Richard when I was a teenager because he was a Christian, he was a role model, I was a musician, and I looked up to him. On two or three occasions, I've dragged Becca to see Cliff in concert. We went to see him in the Royal Albert Hall. We sat in the choir stalls behind the stage, so we were really close to the band, which was fascinating. And we could see all the women who came rushing down the front to stand right by the stage where they just adored Cliff. They gave Cliff glory. And Becca said to me, no one should receive that amount of adulation. Footballers, pop stars, actors, influencers, all get glory in our society. But when Jesus was born, all the glory went to God. All the glory goes to God. And that's how it should be. Verse 13. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. So this is how it should be. It's okay to be a fan of a footballer or a pop singer. That's okay up to a point. But all the glory should go to God. Because when all the glory goes to God, there is peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. If all the presidents and rulers in the world wanted to give God glory, if governments and armies wanted God to have the glory, not glory for themselves, there'd be no war. And when we decide to give God the glory, his favor rests on us. And we know peace. And so when the angels had left them, the shepherds hurry off to Bethlehem. I don't know who looked after the sheep once they'd gone. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And interestingly, verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they'd been told about this child. All the glory goes to God. And so the shepherds talk about him. Just ordinary people. They talk about Jesus. They spread the word. And that's what we're to do. Everyone we know, in school, or at home, or in work, or in our street, everyone we know should know that we love Jesus. And they should hear us talking about Jesus. The shepherds are a model to us in this. Verse 18. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. All the glory goes to God. The shepherds returned, verse 20. Glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Ordinary place, ordinary people, all the glory goes to God. Jesus came for ordinary shepherds, ordinary people like you and me. So I need to ask you, are you amazed this Christmas? at the God who can arrange the events of history? Are you committed to giving God all the glory? Are you talking about him? And most important of all, do you know that Jesus has come to be your Saviour? Are you one of those on whom his favour rests? Doesn't matter how young you are, you can ask Jesus to be your Saviour. Doesn't matter how old you are, you can ask Jesus to be your Saviour. We all need to know that Jesus has saved us from hell for heaven.